The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, I mentioned big anniversary in my house today. Nothing to do with my wife, nothing to do with the kids. It's got to do with me and my deep and meaningful relationship with our national language, because this day 1 year ago, I opened the Duolingo app and I've had a go at it every single day for the last year. So I hit my 365-day streak today, a day I never thought would come. Well, I thought maybe it possibly might come 365 days after I started. But there you go. A lot of people have had a tilt. I've had a few tilts at it and they were kind of quixotic until this latest one, and I've managed to keep it up. And over the last year, I've had a couple of other attempts at learning the language. I did Couch to Corra, people remember here on the show, with Eamonn O'Donoghue and Siobhan Davitt, who was great help to me. And then Patricia from All About Irish as well. And I have to say, like, the couple of focal with somebody else, that makes all the difference, more so than the Duolingo. But the Duolingo is great because it means that every day you at least do something. You may not be expanding your skills to any great degree, but you're doing a little something. You're keeping the hand in, as it were. So the next challenge, I guess, is going to be how to step it up and how to speak a little bit more. Somebody who does speak that little bit more and has managed to do it really successfully with the How to Gael podcast is Louise Cantillon, the Today FM presenter as well. Louise, how are you?
Anu arfad, gurim agat, agus co gordicus lat.
Gurimile, law more. So my 1 year anniversary, the Duolingo anniversary. Some of the questions, some of the little phrases that Duolingo gets you to learn are kind of incredible. Like,
go on, tour them.
The octopus doesn't fit on the horse or something like this.
Well, cut it all gut now. What phrase are you most brodul?
I don't know, really. You know, Duolingo is great more for vocabulary than anything.
Okay.
But it doesn't, I'm not sure is it how much of a help it is, like, if the big ambition is to be kind of a glaurta squelga. I think you need to be a glaurta squelga.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, but vocab-wise, did you learn any nice new words?
God, what did I do today? I could do today's one it was about putting notes into pieces of paper, or putting notes into a scrapbook or something.
Oh, yeah.
So it's random, the kind of the focus on any given day. But it's, the couple of times, so I did it for a year, but a couple of times as well, I did other stuff during the year where you were speaking to people, and that made the biggest difference.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think it is. Like, a language, in order for a language to be alive, it needs to be used. You need to be speaking it. And that's the most important thing. And I say this all the time. Like, you have Gaeilge, Tosha Gut. So how often can I ask, did you order a cup of coffee in a shop and say, Gurmagut? Or cup on coffee, le the hull? You know, I think you've more than you think, but do you use it?
Yeah. Do you know what it is? It's, kind of Tonismo Mwininagum, like, you know, and, like, even where, say, if you bumped into you, or you bumped into, if Hector was in for something and this kind of couple of focal, like, you know, kind of like, I'd just be, oh no, I'm like, I know what you said, but I'm going to answer that in English.
Yeah. Okay.
And all it is how are you? Yeah. How's the family? Is all Hector might ask.
Yeah.
And I'd say, yeah, they're good.
Instead of the family
are good. Yeah, yeah, instead of just saying that. So it's a little bit of that confidence thing.
Yeah.
And like that, yeah, you definitely, I know it's a cliche to say people have more than they know, but they absolutely do.
But the confidence is, I'm glad you say that, because, you know, that's the hardest thing. It's actually backing yourself to use it. I think we need to kick down, you know, that mentality of like, oh, if I get the grammar wrong, they'll judge me.
That's
no one cares.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A gurumahagut's a gurumahagut at the end of the day. Like, if you were in Spain on holidays, you'd say, dos cerveza, por favor, ordering your pints. You know, could you just go into your local and say, pint one, la de hull?
Yeah, I know, you know, but it's amazing how many people to listen to this will order a couple of beers in Spain or France or Italy or something like that. And their only goal is to be understood. They're like, I don't care if I get this totally wrong.
Exactly.
Once they know I want two big beers or one pizza and one bit, whatever it happens to be, then that's fine. Mission accomplished. Yet you're right. They won't do it in Irish unless they can say it, this is perfect. It's the fear of correction, I think. They kind of think that someone's going to go,
listen, generational trauma. I mean, look at the way it was taught.
That's not how you say it.
Well, I'll be the first to empathize. And it's something people say all the time. It's the way it was taught. And like, it was, sure. And it still isn't taught perfectly. Absolutely not. But like, forget about that. We can't change that. But what we can change is using it and reclaiming the fact that, you know, it doesn't matter how it was thought. Thought I got. So, usoid and made the thought got. And trostach. Fuckle no go.
Yeah, and which is what you guys do in the podcast an awful lot. And then, you know, there's all these different kind of people now, influencers as well, using it. And people like Mancon and others have been out kind of ploughing that furrow for such a long time. But you do kind of get a sense that maybe it's more in the zeitgeist at the moment. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there is, like, and the funny thing is, you know, it's like, I don't think there's influencers out there using it to be trendy. I think it's just a realisation that it's always been there. Like, I was reared through Gaeilge. I had Gaeilge at home growing up.
Yeah.
So it was always in my life. The way I communicate with the girls on How to Gaeilge, our podcast, for us, naturally, it's not something we do. It's just the way we actually have always communicated. Either Berlagas Gaeilge, they were also all reared through Irish. And it's a very natural way to communicate, and it's just how we do it. And I guess maybe some of that, you know, I remember actually growing up, right, in whatever, the late 90s and early noughties, and thinking it was so embarrassing that my mother was a Glarithas Gaeilge to me. And I was like, Mom, shut up. Ask me that in English, you know?
Yeah.
And actually, I wish at the time I had been way more proud of it. And I think now, I think actually what's happening is people are just really, really proud to have it. And they're using it all the time, as they should. And, you know, people are realising, oh, it's so cool.
Yeah, it's funny, like that when I was growing up. But if I heard, like, say, you and your mother walking down the street, I just looked at people like they were alien. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Those people are, we're not in school.
We're
not
freaks.
In school. Yeah. What are they doing?
Yeah, and that was it.
You like walking down the street doing busy at maths or something in your spare time. That's how
bit
I looked at it.
Long division of the bus.
Do you know what? I'll do a bit of long division here. I have a bit of spare time in my hands.
You know what? And I bet you those people are working with the big account.
Yeah, exactly.
Laughing in their
They're loaded listening to us now, driving home in their Porsche. You know, it's interesting as well. The focus is always on school and how you learn it in school and everything. And I just wonder, should we just accepting that there was an issue with how it was taught in school? Should we be doing more to help and facilitate people to learn it later in life?
Sure, absolutely. But there's loads out there.
Yeah.
You know, there is a lot out there already. I don't think, you know, we need to do anything radical. I think people just need to start looking around them and actively trying to speak it. I mean, it is everywhere. And you're right, it does feel like there's an avjochen, there's a revival, there's a wave coming. It's really cool. The likes of Kneecap have done amazing things. Like, look, here's hoping they get nominated for an Oscar. That's the second Irish language film that will be on an Oscar's red carpet. You know, there's a lot of pride, and I think people feel a tear grow and a kind of like a sense of love for their language that maybe hasn't been celebrated in the past. So as long as we keep celebrating that, and, you know, instead of laughing at Irish and saying, oh, they're such freaks, say, deadly, fair play a day of lads, Conestashiv, Neil Moranagum, and we celebrate it.
Do you know what website I kind of have grown to love as well over the last year is Loganum, which is kind of all the place names and everything. And Joe McHugh, the former Minister for Agriculture, wasn't he agriculture? Anyway, former government minister, he kind of steered me in its direction when he was on the show. And I kind of get sucked into it. I think it's great. But it does kind of bring us to another story that was around recently about signs, the signs of...
Oh, the Limerick sign.
Limerick.
Yeah.
So tell me about this. Welcoming Limerick to Limerick.
Yeah, this is Nóiríoch now. Well, on Focal Sinagot, Nóiríoch.
No.
It's embarrassing, I think.
Oh, Nóiríoch.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. And look, I'm
it
saying.
Certainly is.
Well, and on the high horse of saying, don't worry if your grammar is incorrect. I mean, there is an onus on, organisation.
So give us an example of one. The welcome to Limerick sign.
Yeah,
tell
I think
us
it said
that.
Foil to Riv Limnoch, which means, like, you know, welcome Limerick rather than welcome to Limerick. Look, it's a mistake that can happen. And, you know, it could be a case of Google Translate.
Yeah, sorry, it's a mistake that can happen if I'm saying it. But if you're putting it, if a local authority or somebody is putting onto a massive sign on the way into one of Ireland's five only cities.
I know, it is.
Glaring.
It's tongue-in-cheek. It's cringy. And you know what? It probably was as simple as someone went on to Google Translate. And it's like AI. It's like anything. Google Translate is actually not always correct. In fact, sometimes if you put a sentence in, because the thing is with Gaeilge, like, it doesn't, and many other languages, you know, it never directly translates.
No.
So if I go into Google Translate and put in welcome to Limerick, I'm sure it'll give me back something that, you know, the words that should be in the sentence are all there, but are they in the correct order? Probably not. So, like, it probably was something like that happened. And it's embarrassing, and they should have gone and, you know, just spoken to Gaeilge and gotten a steer on it.
Yeah. So, kind of, we're saying kind of high standards for local authorities, but don't worry about the standards for everybody else. Just embrace it.
Exactly. Do you know what? If I was talking to someone from Limerick that didn't have much Gaeilge and they said to me, Fáilte riv Limnoch, and they were trying to say welcome to Limerick, I'd say, Gurmila Mahagut, and
you wouldn't go.
No, I wouldn't.
But sharp and take a breath and rise.
No,
we have a problem here now.
But if it's on a sign that cost a few hundred thousand, not great.
Before we go, the podcast is flying it.
Oh, Gurmagat. Yeah, we're back for Shraddha though, season two, and bigger and better than ever. We've gone full video, lads.
Ooh, I'm telling
that's
you.
Very fancy, apparently.
Yeah.
In the world of podcast, you have to look nice as well as sound good. And you know what? It's great. It's been really well received. We've got big plans. We've got some live shows booked in. And
yeah.
There's been a really great reception. And generally, I think what people are saying to us, both actually at home in Ireland and abroad, is that it feels like an accessible platform for people who, like you, Kieran, have the Gaeilge, Thoshe a Gut, but it's unwinning shin. And you want a few pals to chat away to, and that's us at How to Gael, Bielin, and you know.
Yeah, well, listen, season two has started. Louise, thanks a million for joining us.
Gairmila Mágat.
And Micheál Onúlán is with me as well, director of Valle Hockey Le Gaeilge. Micheál, Gairmila, and thanks a million for coming into us.
Gairmila Mágat.
So listen, the kind of, as I was chatting to Louise there, like she says, look, the resources are out there. You know what I mean? We don't necessarily need more of them. People just need to kind of get on and do it, maybe to a degree. So talk to me about the simple things that people could do day-to-day basis to just incorporate a bit more of the language into their life.
Sure, yeah. So that's where Valle Hockey Le Gaeilge come in, I suppose. So that's the organisation that I direct. So we have a business network, first of all, for businesses around Dublin City Centre. And this is to show that it's not just a tokenism thing. There are 35 businesses in our network that actually go ahead and try and operate through Irish. So we have a number of methods in place in these businesses that kind of help customers come in, practice their couple of focal. We have a few visual aids for you here, Kieran. I know that you're practicing your couple of focal itself.
Yeah.
But so I'd ask anyone who has either been in Ireland for a certain amount of time or has been in school in Ireland at all, they'd understand all these rudimentary phrases. So you have your diaguit, bawahlom, ledahol, Gurvmagut and Slán. So we use our hands, kind of use it as a visual aid. But we have a load of these kind of methods that are up in place in our businesses to show that Irish is accepted in this business and to kind of take the awkwardness away from someone who's coming in saying, oh, would you have a bit of Gaeilge? I can ask for you as well. Like, so we have another point of sales things as well that show, took up a fuckalogum, I can't have Irish yet, or I'm Tommy Leafa. So it's showing behind the tills, really. It's showing them that this person could actually deal with me in Irish and I won't have to stick out like a sore thumb and say, oh, by any chance, would you have a bit of Gaeilge for us? So there, that's just our business network point of things. But we have a load of events that Bailio Cliath Gaeilge run as well. So the biggest one that we do is Lawmore na Gaeilge. I was on last year talking about this, but it was the biggest day festival in Dublin for Gaeilge. So there's 5,000 people that come. There was workshops all through Gaeilge.
Yeah.
BYOB, bring your own bear lore. We had a lot of things that were there that kind of people who are Gaeilge curious, we like to say, that they can practice their couple of focal without feeling judged, because that's what we mainly see about Irish, that they kind of is a confidence issue, whereas the Gaeilge will be there, it's just how can they use it.
Yeah, it's funny because Louise makes the same point, you know, that you go to France and you order the two beers and you know you're kind of butchering it, but you don't care because you realise the only thing that matters here is that I communicate what I need, that they know what I need and they respond accordingly.
Yeah. Yet
we have a much higher standard in our head of what's needed to communicate in Irish.
Yeah, it's that post-colonial trauma coming again. But it really is, like, we kind of beat ourselves up over, but as soon as you're talking it, like, it comes so naturally. I was just in Portugal there with my missus, and she was it was brilliant conversation to have when you're talking about people as well, a bit of Gaeilge, and you'd be amazed how quickly it comes back to you. As soon as you're using it, like any muscle in your body, if you use it, it'll stand to you, you know. So that's what we kind of encourage that as well. One great initiative that we're running as well to kind of increase people's awareness of Irish. So we speak around, so Bailio Cliath Gaeilge is a co-partnership with Conor na Gaeilge and the City Council. And one of the initiatives that we're looking at now is Turasóir. So the Irish for Turasóir is tourism. We're using the OR, OFA, the IOR for gold. So smart idea that we have there. But like, we have a number of different language-based tourism opportunities there.
Okay.
One of them is, that's running tomorrow and next week, is Táin Bó Yoga. So the story of Cú Chulainn taught through yoga poses in Bewley's there on Grafton Street. And it was kind of a happy accident on Bewley's as well, because they have a Harry Clark that's in there, stained glass.
Oh.
Which is actually a picture of Queen Maeve. So part of the story. So it actually is a great setting that kind of awakens people's opportunity to speak Irish. But then they'd obviously that this is kind of hidden gem that's in Dublin that people mightn't ever see, but we're bringing it to life through language tourism. Because we mentioned there Duolingo, there's actually 1.2 million people outside of Ireland who speak Irish, and a number of people who come into the businesses that we have in our network, we're kind of disensitized to the Irish language signage that we see around the place. Is that doing much good for the language? It's great to have, but we actually see people from America coming in saying, that's written in a different language up there. Is there any place I can practice it? So we're coming up with these type of tourism ideas or language-based tourism ideas that they can...
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, when you speak to people who don't have any of that baggage, you know, because another course I did was the All About Irish with Patricia. She kind of gave me a bit of a hand as well over the last year at one stage. And it was lots of Americans she was having. And they were just doing it. They maybe had a bit of Irish ancestry. Some of them didn't at all. It was just a kind of pure curiosity thing. You know what I mean? They'd maybe been here on holidays like that. And they thought, oh, that might be fun to learn a new language. Yeah. And the idea that you could approach it that way, I think, is kind of anathema to so many of us.
Yeah.
Sorry, the idea that this is a fun thing to do, to learn a new language, you know, or to relearn some of the language. Yeah. You know, we've got all the baggage. I like this. Fair play for recognising Ireland only as 5 cities, says John from Scariff. John, that was a slip of the tongue. I meant, of course, Kilkenny counts as a city. How can atheists say hello, Oscuelga?
Obviously, Diagwit is where the basic comes up. But hello is an old one.
Just say hello. If your atheism is that central to your character that you can't say Diagwit, just say hello.
Call us a tattoo. There's plenty, you know.
What you mean. Not long after finishing school, I moved to Holland to look for work. After being there for 18 months, I was speaking fluently, and I was able to read the newspaper. We should be doing the same with Irish. That, which is, again, it's a point Louise makes, and I know, I'm sure it's a point you'd make as well. And it's something that I've noticed as well. I, you know, kind of joking a little bit about the Duolingo thing and haven't done it for the year. And Duolingo is great, and it maybe expands the vocab a little, and it stops you slipping backwards, and it keeps the finger in or the hand in. But it doesn't compare to speaking with people.
No.
Like, you have to be, if the goal is to kind of be a Glaurth Oscuelga, you have to just be a Glaurth Oscuelga, don't you?
Exactly. And like, I'd point to the easiest example that I have of that is the na Gaeil Óga, the Irish language GAA club that I'm a part of. We started in 2010. We were laughed off the pitch nearly in all we started off with 14 male footballers and a dog, and we were laughed off. We got absolutely our bums handed to us in every other match that we played.
Yeah,
I remember one match in particular. Actually, the following year, I was marking a man who had, of all things, a tattoo of Chuck Your Law on his arm, and he was slagging us like, "What are you using, speaking that stupid language?" You know, and it was lost to me as they're laughing. But he also bounces for about 20 points, so I didn't speak too highly about it. But anyway, but ever since then, now we have, it's one of the fastest growing clubs in the country. And you mentioned Americans or the diaspora that come to the country. We have Americans, we have Canadians, we have English that come over and are fluent. And you mentioned that you have to have the opportunity to speak it. That's the main thing. Like, within 3 weeks, we're having people who are fluent. Now, they're fluent in a specific area, as in Gaelic football, camogie or hurling, that they're using these phrases, but they're coming again and again and again because they're doing an activity that they find that they have such a great love for. And there's a fellow who plays for us who is from America. He's affectionately known as Jack and Punk on, or Jack the Yank, but he would call himself, they asked him, does he feel Irish? And he says, in Irish, he said, ní dinna éireannach mé ach is Gael mé. I'm a Gael.
Oh,
he feels
a
Gael. So it's that diaspora, but you don't actually have to be from Ireland to actually feel a great affiliation to the language.
And do you have the fáinne on you there on your shirt. Does that have an impact on a day-to-day basis? Do many people come up to you or kind of just say hello when they see it?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's something that's seen probably people of a few yesteryears that might see that something of years ago, the fáinne thing. And like, I'd find a lot of people who went to probably Gael Coláistí that say, and then they'd practice that immediately because it's something that they resonate with. We've a number of things that we kind of have, again, with the shops to show that in our business network that this person is Irish. So Leabhar Gaeilge Lum is written onto our lanyards, just to take all away them visual aids that show that Gaeilge is accepted and probably welcomed, because it's that awkwardness. And again, when people would see a Fáinne Óir like I'm wearing here now, they'd be saying, of all things, I'm not going to speak Irish to him because he's going to be judging my language or my use of language. Come back to that guilt or that trauma that they might feel about it in school or how it was taught. I guarantee it, 99.9% of people that you speak with who are fluent, and you might have a couple of fuckle or rusty, if you speak to them in Irish, they'll be the most patient people to speak back to you in Irish, because that's what they're delighted to see the language being used on a daily basis.
Micheál Nulong, Micheál Gormila Magat, director of Balliol Clia Le Gaeilge. Somebody asked, Joan Galway's great tip, Louise mentioned Google Translate. Here's a tip when you use it. Translate it in reverse after you do it back to English, and if it doesn't make sense, then something is up. Joe, speaking from experience, I would suggest.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.